You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Where do you want to
start?
The
market just doesn't want to give up, does it?
No, it doesn't.
We've had this discussion. We're both, you know, we want to see America prosper and do well and do good. But this rally's a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, we're stuck in a range here. If we turn down from here, in fact, we're working on a little trade right now. On a bigger picture, turn down from this area, and then break, go back down to 998, today's low, or lower, mm-hmm. we'll be setting up a 1-2-3 kind of top formation on a daily chart. Ideally now, a close below the low of the high day is also a warning sign. Right now I was looking for, we're going to do 1 second, Dwayne.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we've had some closes below the low of the high day, right?
We've
only had one.
I think we've had one, and as far as the on this rally goes, we've only had a couple of two until just getting up to these heights on the way up. There were only two times where we had a couple of days of back and forth action. But I think we did have just one day where we closed below the low of the high day. The pattern would set up nice if we, you know, if we have a high in place, you sell off to a low, you come back up to a lower high, and then turn down. And that is, it happens at most of, like if you look back at the high from at 1576 off of that, we kind of had a 1-2-3 top. That started the whole downdraft. So something similar can happen here. A reversal from under 1018 on the cash that turns down. I'm not sure what the daily. I have to look at the daily close only chart to give an exact number, but I know that a close down below 998 would be. A big negative.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're hanging on. This morning they went under 1,000 and then quickly reversed back up through that. And right in our time frame that we talk about, it was right about 30 minutes into the day. So the early action was good, and now we're kind of stuck here. We're looking for a reversal in this 108 to 109 area for a 1-2-3 top pattern. What we need now is a break back down through 1,007.5 would get the downsiding gear. This is something that's in the book also. But that's a little trade in there right here, the stop. Stops in at 1009, so if they take that out, they went a little farther than I thought they would.
So your stop is actually below the high of the day, huh?
Right.
High of the day.
They should make a lower. They should not take out the high here. They should make a lower high and then turn down, and that would set up another 1-2-3 top on a shorter time frame than what we're talking about on a daily chart. It's an intraday pattern that works really well especially when you're extended. And it works at highs and lows. And we had some 1-2-3 bottoms on the way up also. But there have been a number of these patterns that have made for good 4 to 6 point swings. You know, even though we've been in rally mode, so it is a nice pattern when they play out, and if you're going to anticipate and catch a turn, then you're pretty much get instant gratification. But a trigger is a break. A trigger is a break below the low of the high bar on a 2-minute chart. When I'm doing a 1-2-3 pattern intraday. And right now they need to take out this, now they just took it out. So you'd be triggered in if you're waiting on a trigger. And you'd have a 1-point stop basically right here, on a short position. And, the market, the way it's acting here, you're going to take off some profits, down around 1007 or so.
Now, I'm going to assume it looks kind of similar on a 2-minute. I got a 1-minute up in front of me at the moment. A little double top right there.
Right. And, yeah, we updated our members to watch the 1008 to 1009 level bounce back to that level that stalled and reversed. Mm-hmm. Would set up a shorting opportunity. So we have a little double top pattern, like you said, which, you know, gives you a good... You know, you didn't have to catch the exact high there, but just coming off of it a little bit gives you a pretty good entry.
The neckline isn't quite broken yet.
On a 2-minute chart, you'd have been triggered. A trigger would have been elected when they broke.
A close below the low of the high bar.
Yeah, a break below the low of the high bar. Just a break. They don't have to necessarily close because they can start, you know, running one direction or the other on the downside here. So you wouldn't really want to wait on a close. You'd be giving up quite a bit for proof.
Yeah, I don't know why I was messing around. It's like 2 mouse clicks to turn the 1-minute chart into a 2-minute. I mean, the 1-minute chart into a 2-minute chart. So
yeah.
Rather than also, wonder, I can just look at it. Yeah, there we go.
We also had the same pattern on the NQ. You see the NQ? A little high and then a pullback and then a bounce to a lower high, and then they have come off a bit more than the ES.
Mm-hmm.
One additional thing, the tick was above its top Bollinger band, and when we get these slow days, the tick extremes are pretty good places to fade, to be a seller when they get above the top band, and be a buyer or cover shorts. Take long positions when they're below the bottom band. So it was an additional little helper to fine-tune an entry on that. It's not really giving us the way today is. It's going to either take a while or turn into a scalp.
Well, and just a reminder to everyone out there, through the end of August, it's going to be about
right.
as slow as it gets.
Yeah, early.
It only gets slower than this the last 2 weeks of December.
Right. Yeah, but you get pretty good action in the early going, the first mm-hmm. 90 minutes or so, and then things slow down, and then come back around 2:20 to 2:40 p.m. Eastern time frame. We tend to get something going there. And then in between, it's sandwich. It's sandwich time. I don't really like to toy around, but you know, lunchtime here we are getting a decent setup. So, just have to pick your spots and be choosy. It's in the summer doldrums here. I do think Dwayne, that the volatility, the way the VIX has acted, that they're expecting a pickup in volatility. So. It's not going to surprise me. You know, the bounces haven't been able to stick. We've been in this range, 990 to 1016 for a while. They're looking for a bigger move. A break of this range, I guess, is going to be what it takes. I'm just going to scalp out of this thing and on 2/3 and keep a trailer on this in case it does break to the downside. Just the way it's acting here, just want to not get hurt and make sure not to turn a profit into a loss.
As I've said before, that was one of the things when I watched your DVDs that really intrigued me about your style of trading was, you know, not all of your trades were home runs, but there were very few actual losers. You got an incredible knack for getting out with a tick or at least break even if it doesn't go your way pretty quickly.
Oh, I'm pretty good at reading the tape. I think Dwayne has been, I think it's experience more than anything. When you do something for, well, as far as live screens for, you know, 25 years plus, actually 27 years now, you kind of get a pretty decent feel for it. Like, where I just covered there was at a low, luckily. So I don't, you know, if I don't stick around, if the trade's not working out, you know, back to the sidelines and reassess things. So it's no sitting there with hope.
Your methodology, you don't put a lot of weight on volume, do you?
No, I don't. I know, as far as my end-of-day work goes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
As far as intraday, like watching the volume of the ES on its certain moves, I won't say it's not a value to a lot of people, but to me, I would just as soon have a chart with a moving average on it for trend, and that's about it. I mean, volume will help folks that are pretty new. And I don't like a lot of messy stuff on my charts. I like just to trade the price action, the support and resistance areas, both fixed and dynamic, and some patterns. And it's really all basically that simple.
Well, I was never a fan of having the big volume thing across the bottom of my chart because it just seems like I could never figure out how to read it the way the fellow writing the article said you were supposed to read it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But somebody, I got hooked up with a little paint bar indicator the other day that, really not anything proprietary. It's, in fact, it's free code that's out on the internet. But what it does is it alerts you when there is a high volume, low range bar on any time frame. So whether you're looking at a 5 minute or a 30 minute or, even a tick chart. Or 1 minute, if you get, because their point being is that if you get, you know, a lot of volume in a tight range on a candle, that, you know, it can mean any number of things, but the biggest point is that it means something.
Yeah.
And quite often it will happen at a reversal point in the market.
Okay.
I mean, it may not be like the key reversal of the day or anything, but it just may be time for the market to turn around and run 3, 4, 5 points in the other direction.
So it tends to be a counter trend alert.
Yeah.
Counter trend alert.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of having a bunch of, you know, stuff across your screen at the bottom, where you're seeing all these different volume bars that may or may not have meaning, this just paints your candle. You can tell it to paint it whatever color you want, but when it recognizes that set of conditions, it'll paint that candle and you can go,
Okay.
You know, and then if you want to look further, you can go, wait a minute, that 1 point bar just traded 400,000 contracts. Could there be an elephant in the market?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Could there be an institution? Could some buying programs have just kicked in? I mean, it can. It's just sort of a heads up.
Right.
Watch, because something just might happen here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some other software out there also that you can break down the size so you can see, well, you can break it down to where you see, you know, like take blocks of trades that were 49 lots or better.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone trading a 50 lot or higher gets special color.
Right.
And you can see where they bunch up. I'm trying to think of what the name of the software is.
Well, you know, TradeStation actually has a thing called an activity bar, and then when you I was looking at it yesterday because a friend of mine has become, he's really gotten into market profile. And so I was just looking to see what TradeStation had along those lines. And they have an activity bar that will give you price distribution or volume distribution. And when I looked at the volume distribution, the default on it is 100 lots or 100 contracts. But you can change it to 50 or you can change it to 1,000. And what it does is it puts that little block, that little square,
okay,
when somebody trades that much.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's similar. I think it might be market delta.
Market delta, market profile, point of control, value area. Okay. Those are all terms that are used when looking at the market value in that area. But the little thing that I have, you can tell it to either color the bar or it'll print whatever words you want it to print on the screen, like alert. And it's free open code. If there's anybody listening that wants the code, just shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to send you the code. It only works in TradeStation, but a smart guy could convert it to eSignal or Ninja, you know, because it's not anything complex. It just looks at volume over N bars and then alerts you if the range shrinks and the volume increases.
It's amazing that you mentioned Ninja, and they were one of the first kind of sophisticated order entry platforms, and now they've gone charting and the whole thing, the whole ball of wax. They really have grown since I was probably one of their early beta testers or whatever.
Oh, really? But
yeah. It has really. It's like, you know, I never thought it would be people talking about it as a charting software, but rather, you know, a nice, really nice order entry and order management platform. But now the charts, and you can trade right off the screen. You know, it has a lot of neat little things and scripts and codes and everything. If you're smart enough, that this thing will just, you can almost set it on autopilot and let it go. But yeah, that's really grown. I mean, to mention Ninja charting with TradeStation and some of that eSignal is kind of like, 3 years ago, if you had told me that, I would say, well, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think they really got their hands full with what they're doing now.
Yeah.
But, man, they must have some really good, smart guys over there. Anyhow.
Well, there are. I mean, there's, you know, the field of computer science has grown so incredibly that I'm almost surprised that we're still able to trade the markets in the manner that we are. I mean, there was discussion that computer programs would make the market so efficient, you know, that a difference between the bid and the ask would literally, you know, disappear. But that hasn't happened.
Well, now, kind of beg to differ a little bit here, Dwayne, from, I compare what we have today, where we can get in and out within a few seconds, and within, we're talking on an E-mini, we're talking on one tick slippage.
Right. Yeah, folks, if you're getting more than one tick slippage, you need to talk to your broker.
All right. Now, compare that to, well, let me go back, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe? Maybe that's a little too short of a time frame, but where we had to phone in an order.
Yeah.
You had a contract that was you didn't have an E-mini. You had a big contract that was not $250 a contract, but a point, but $500 a point.
Right.
And you had to call in and get it put on aisle dial, call your order in, get it to a broker, get it filled, get it back.
Yeah, and you wouldn't know if it was filled for a while,
well,
correct?
If you got your order back within there and back to you within about 2 to 3 minutes, you're doing really, you're fast, you're lightning. So I really thought it was something when I had a filling broker that was on the edge of the pit, and I could call down and he'd answer with the bid ask, and I could give him my you know, trade, and then it would be about 15 seconds later, he'd come back with an order filled. But you would get hosed on stops a lot of times, and that slippage was, you know, not small either. You know, you could get slipped a point pretty easily down there. So that's the difference between now and then. You'd be angry because, you know, they know that they, you know.
It was a license to steal is what it was.
Just, yeah, pretty much. And there were times that, you know that you were taken, but you just couldn't do anything about it. But that,
because you needed the guy the next day when he was willing to play fair.
Yeah.
Okay, he got me today, but tomorrow it'll be my turn for him to play fair with me, and you know, and take it out on somebody else. So what do you call that? CDA, CDA, cost of doing business in America. Yeah.
you didn't want to irritate your.
But this efficiency of the market thing, I agree. The market's incredibly more efficient now. I mean, but do you think they could get so efficient with these algorithms and this quantitative analysis that eventually the market's just...
No, I think we don't know. We'll still have our intraday. But another thing I didn't mention is that we had we didn't have overnight Globex, so we weren't trading before stocks open. There was an opening call, okay, and that was like 10 minutes before stocks open. They'd say the opening call for the S&Ps are down 10 points or whatever, down 10, so... but you weren't really sure if it was going to open down 10, down 8, down 12 until, you know, something happened. Because, you know, for instance, if anyone read Louis Borsellino's book, where on Black Monday he basically made a little over $1 million in about 2 seconds, where he saw a guy really antsy, so he kept offering... I'm sorry, he was bidding lower and lower, and the guy finally hit his bid. He sold him to a guy standing about two rows behind him, I think 20 handles higher or so, 30 handles higher. It's about 10 seconds later, and said he went into the bathroom and threw up. But there was an opening call, and then the market opened, and he had... you know, regular trading. We weren't trading, you know, a news event. A news event had pent up supplier, you know, pent up demand or supply on the opening. So the openings were really quite a bit different than today.
Well, I mean, news was quite a bit different. I mean,
yeah,
I remember news as when I was a kid, your news came in the morning in the form of a newspaper, and at night it was delivered by Walter Cronkite at, you know, 6 p.m.
Yeah. Yeah, or you watch Nightly Business Report with Paul Kangas, or, you know, but yeah, that and the Wall Street Week. Well, you got your Wall Street Journal in the morning, special delivery if you had, you know, so you get it before the market opened. That was your news weekly.
But there again, you're trading on day old news.
Yeah.
2 day old.
Day
old, yeah.
Yep, and your charts came at the end of the week. A big binding of it was from Trendline, a big binding of all the stocks and the indices on the New York Stock Exchange. And those came at the end of the week, so you didn't have, you know, you didn't click on a program and open it up and have all your charts present showing, you know, down to the tick where the trades were. You had paper come in the mail. And you had to get out your pencil and whatever, and you know, and they didn't have all the indicators of, you know, that you wanted to slap on there or whatever. You just looked at your charts, looked through all the charts and stuff, and read the charts. So a lot different than now. Anyway,
yeah, I mean, you know, I'm pretty old. I mean, I was around when the calculator came out.
Yeah.
I remember my grandfather used to run his business with an adding machine.
You know, the first
To someone young today, an adding machine, what's an adding machine? But that's what they were called. It was this big thing with all these keys on it and a big handle that you pulled. You'd put in some numbers and you'd crank the handle, and you'd put in some numbers and you'd crank the handle.
You know, Dwayne, this was originally made right down the street from where I grew up as a kid. Bomar is the name of the company. They started the handheld calculator.
Really?
And it was literally within a mile, probably within a mile from where I was, from where I grew up. Yeah. Bomar. And then eventually they were mismanaged. I think they filed bankruptcy, a few years back. But, yeah, Bomar was the first. I don't know if it was Google, it might be. There was on Fort Wayne, Indiana, on Lower Huntington Road. Where they were.
Man, they were really expensive, too.
Yeah, that was just for something to add and subtract and multiply and divide. It was all they did.
And now you can buy them at the dollar store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty cool ones at that.
Yeah, and expensive ones also. Nowadays, the kids in college, I know. These calculators can be sky high, so, yeah, a bit different. But, Dwayne, I think I better...
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, yeah. And Thursday, so I guess we talk on Tuesday. Yeah. Have a great weekend.
You too, buddy.
And
maybe
the market will move this afternoon.
Yeah, maybe. If not, at least we know come September it'll move. Folks, yeah. You can always visit MikeTradeStalker.com. Take advantage of the free trial. Lots of information on the site. Mike, good weekend. Talk to you Tuesday.
Okay, thanks so much for having
me. All right,
me,
buddy. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.